So we're beginning into Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. We're going to read that together. And then we're going to do something a little bit special this morning in preparation for hearing Luke's testimony about the Lord Jesus Christ as he shares the things that he has heard. So, inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things that have been taught. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, as we endeavor into your word, I pray that you would use this to strengthen our understanding of who you are and what you did for us on the cross and what you've called us to do as your followers in this world that is lost and dying without you. May, as we move forward in this study, bring praise and honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, on that notes page or on a scrap piece of paper, I want you to answer three questions in one sentence, okay? Three questions in one sentence, okay? First one, what was my life like before I knew Jesus Christ? Good. One sentence. What was my life like before I met Jesus Christ? I'll give you a minute to write that all down. Now, guys, that needs to be a complete sentence. And ladies, that can't be a paragraph. Okay? Second question. When did you come to know Jesus as your Savior? All right, there's two. I'm watching to see if anybody finishes. Third question. How is your life different because you met Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? How has it changed? How has your life changed because you met Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Write that one down. Now, as you finished up these three sentences and these three questions, three responses, now I want you, and kids, you can participate in this too. Some of you are able to pay attention. I want you to stand up. I want you to find somebody who you don't know very well, all right? So that means that excludes anybody who lives in your house, okay? So find somebody that you don't know very well, and I want you to share with them the answer to those three questions, okay? You have your three questions, your three sentences. I'm giving you 5 minutes apiece, all right? So that's why it had to be one sentence. You share with them the answer to those three questions. So here we go. Everybody up. Everybody find somebody and talk to them. Share with them. Both of you share those three, answer to those three questions. Okay, we're wrapping up. Go ahead and finish. That's fine. Don't let me rush you. You can go ahead and finish, but okay. Okay. Okay, here we go. Now, I have just prepared you. I've helped you a little bit to do the homework that follows this this study this morning, all right? The reason we did this is because the book of Luke is primarily a gathering of the testimonies of those who knew Jesus Christ and saw the things that he had done. And so I wanted to use that as a reminder that your testimony is important, okay, in the sharing of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you know what you were like before you got saved, and you know that Jesus came and saved you from your sins, and the work that was done in doing that, and you know how he has changed your life, guess what you can do? You can go out with Peter on June 30th and the Go Teams, and you can share the gospel with our friends here in Pekin. Or you can do that with your friends and coworkers and family members as you meet them throughout the week. So, question that we have to ask, first of all, in understanding the gospel of Luke is, who is this guy? Who is Luke? I remember when I was a little kid, I thought that I was pretty slick when people asked me, who are the 12 disciples? And I knew that I knew four, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? I was positive. Well, there's a problem with that. The problem is neither Luke nor Mark were apostles, all right? So, first of all, we need to recognize that this guy Luke, who is he? He is he's not an apostle. He's not one of those 12 individuals that is called out by the Lord Jesus Christ and specially gifted to lay the foundation of the body of Christ. All right, he's not one of them. So who is he? Well, first of all, he is a friend and co-laborer with Paul in the ministry of the gospel to the Gentiles. All right, I have a question for you. How many of you know the name Jack Wortson? This can be older people, right? How many of you know Jack Wortson, right? Evangelist and developed Word of Life Ministries, which is where our missions trip was, our missions team was at this last week, and they're going to share a report with us. So Jack Wortson, great evangelist, would share the gospel. He'd have, he would fill the garden with people, and he would share the gospel to them, right? Amazing man, used of God in powerful ways and sharing the gospel. How many of you have ever heard of Harry Ballbeck? A couple of you. Amen. Harry Ballbeck was at every single one of those crusades. And he was playing the organ or playing the piano and guiding and directing in all of the logistics that took place at those crusades so that the gospel could go forth. Jack Wortson, Harry Ballbeck, many, many, many thousands of people who come to Christ as a result of them, all right? The Apostle Paul and Luke, all right? The Apostle Paul is the great evangelist, gone to the Gentiles, and guess who was with him everywhere he went? Luke. That's who he is. He's a friend, he's a co-laborer. Everyone who the Apostle Paul was able to lead to Christ, Luke is able to take credit for as he ministered alongside him in that work. So, he is a friend and co-laborer with the Paul in the ministry of the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul says of him, and in Philemon verse 24, it says, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. All right? He didn't say these individuals who are traveling with me or these individuals that I am training or teaching. He says of Luke, he says he's my co-laborer. He is my partner in this ministry. Second, he says, Luke alone is with me. 2 Timothy 4:11, Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is youthful to me in ministry. So even at the end of his life, we see Luke is there still caring for the Apostle Paul and ministering to him. So he is a friend and co-laborer with Paul in the ministry of the gospel to the Gentiles. This is a significant thing, the fact that he spent so much time with the Apostle Paul. Thirdly, he's a Gentile himself. Maybe he was a proselyte Jew. A proselyte Jew was an individual who was not born Jewish, all right? But they wanted to be a Jew. They believed in the Messiah. They wanted to follow the law. They wanted to follow the Lord. They wanted to be counted as part of the Jewish people. And so they would go through all of the work to become a proselyte Jew, all right? And they were accepted in that role. So maybe he was that. But he wasn't a Jew by birth. All right, he was a Gentile. Why is it important that Luke is not a Jew? Because the gospel does not only go to the Jews, that's why. All right, so he's a Gentile man, a proselyte. We know that because of Colossians. Colossians chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. Listen to this list. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. And Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who's called Justice, these are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God. So Paul names all these individuals. How many of you heard Luke in there? No. He says, these are the only ones of the circumcision. So these are the only Jews. These are the only Israelites who are with me in the ministry for the kingdom of God. What did he already tell us? What was Luke for you? Luke was a co-laborer in the ministry of the work of God, right? But then he says in verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. So we know that he's talking about this list of Jewish individuals who are ministering with him, and he doesn't mention Luke, but we know that he's there. We know that he's there because he sends a greeting from Luke in the next couple of verses, all right? So he is he's a Gentile. Crucial to understanding the gospel of Luke is understand that it is not written by a Jew, but is written by a Gentile believer, okay? Number four, he's a physician, and more specifically, the one who cares for Paul while in prison. This is his role. Luke is the individual who is caring for the Apostle Paul while in prison. We know that when he was in Philippi, when he's writing to the Philippians, because he is in prison, we know that Luke is with him, caring for him, and we know that he is very sick, sick unto death. So Luke is the individual who's taking care of him. He's the one who's traveled with Paul on his missionary journeys. How many of you would like to have traveled with Paul on his missionary journeys? Man, that would be awesome, right? Terrifying, but awesome, right? I think of Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn, right? Those stories of old, these two running around doing all kinds of crazy things. That's the Apostle Paul and Luke. They're traveling around, sharing the gospel, running away from individuals who are trying to kill them, and Luke is with him right in the midst of all of it. He's traveled with Paul on several missionary journeys. He has been with Paul among the Jerusalem church. We find that he's been traveling with the Apostle Paul to the Gentiles, but there are some theological discussions that need to take place, and when those theological discussions need to take place about the gospel, the Apostle Paul goes back to the Jerusalem church. Who, guess who the pastor of the Jerusalem church is? James, the brother of Christ. Okay? Writes the book of James for us. So they go back to Jerusalem to talk to the Jerusalem church. The apostles are there. James, the brother of Christ, is there. How many of you would think that probably that's where he gathered a lot of information, right, from those guys? Who knows you best in this entire world, your husband or wife and your siblings, right? Even better than your parents, because there's all those secret things that you never told them about. But your siblings know, right? So James, the brother of Christ, James and Jude, both there in Jerusalem, he's able to talk to them and gather information. It's very important for us to understand that he had time with the Apostle Paul back in Jerusalem amongst the Jerusalem believers. He is the man He accompanied Paul to Rome and was shipwrecked with him on Malta. All right? So we read the book of Acts and we find out that the Apostle Paul is imprisoned and sent to Rome. All right? But when they're writing the book of Acts, it always says, we went. Do you know why it says we went? It says we went because Luke is writing the book of Acts. And he is saying, I went with him to Rome. Paul was the prisoner. Luke is coming around along beside him to take care of him, to travel with him, to care for him while he's in prison, while he's being carried through the courts. So he was in that shipwreck when the Apostle Paul was on the island at Malta and is bitten by the serpent. And Luke, the physician, is there and he sees him bitten by the serpent he doesn't die. And we know that was a miracle of the Lord caring for him there. Luke is the individual who is still with Paul just before he's martyred, even though many had left him. Luke is the guy who stays there. Says in 2 Timothy 4:11, Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very youthful to me in ministry. He's telling Timothy, he says, hey, I have Luke here, but everybody else has left me. They've abandoned me. I am going through this difficult time alone, except for Luke. You think about it. If you were in a prison cell suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ, how nice it would be to have another follower with you, waiting alongside you while you're waiting to be martyred for your faith. That's Luke. Faithful man beside him. He is the man who is there in the midst of all that takes place as the church is birthed and spread. Why is he this guy who writes the gospel? Who is this guy? He's the guy who's there through the whole thing. He sees the church develop. He sees it grow. He sees the gospel go to the Gentiles. He serves in ministry with the Apostle Paul. And now he thinks that it's his responsibility to give us an account of the Lord Jesus Christ based on the testimonies of the individuals who knew him while he was here. So what's Luke's reason for writing this gospel? We know who he is. And the fact that he was so faithful in serving beside the Apostle Paul, we have to say, who else? Who else would be worthy of writing a gospel for us? What is his reason? This we get into the first chapter of Luke. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us. Okay? This we're in verse 1, chapter 1 of Luke. He says, I am writing because there are many fragment accounts about what took place during the time Jesus was physically with us on the earth. So, people are writing. How many of you, if you had an encounter with Jesus when he was here, would keep it to yourself? Anybody? Tracy, when she was in New York City, she saw a famous person while they were just walking down the street, just acting like they were normal. And she saw him, and guess what she did? She sent me a text. She says, I just saw a famous person, right? Why? Because when something that we think is incredible happens to us, we tell people, right? So there were individuals who spent time with Jesus. Maybe individuals who were at the feeding of the 5,000. Maybe individuals who saw him turn water into wine. Maybe some of the shepherds or the wise men who were there when Jesus was born. All of these individuals, they've written short accounts of what had taken place. So he says there are many fragment accounts about what took place during the time Jesus was physically with us on earth. They're just stories that are out there about Jesus. In the same way that many have done so, Luke has worked compiling evidence and testimony. He's doing this in hopes of creating a completed narrative of the life and ministry of Jesus. So he says there's all these fragment accounts out there of what Jesus did, but nobody's put it together into a completed gospel. He says, so I want to take these testimonies. I want to take these stories about individuals who have been touched by Jesus, and I want to share them in a well-documented historical book. He says, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered to us. So he says, this gospel account is a compilation of testimony given by followers of Jesus who saw personally what took place during Jesus' ministry here. So he's not talking to people who say, hey, you know, I heard that this is what took place. That's not who he's talking to. He's talking to individuals who were there in the midst of what Jesus was doing while he was here on earth. So where did he get the Bethlehem story? Where did he get it from? Maybe he got it from Mary. He got it from individuals who were there, who knew what had taken place. We talk about the Jesus in the temple. Again, maybe Mary. Jesus, when he was a child, he's in the temple. Luke writes about that, right? Talks about the different miracles Jesus had done. He doesn't talk to individuals who say, well, there's an account of this. Let me tell you what the account looks like. The Gospel of Luke is made up of the testimony of individuals who were there and saw what Jesus had done. He says it's eyewitness testimony. These accounts from those who were with Jesus, these are accounts from those who saw what he did and heard and what he said. They heard Jesus talking. They wrote those things down. They documented what he had said. These are accounts of those who were now serving the gospel. So there's two things. These are eyewitnesses to what had taken place, but these are not just eyewitnesses. These are eyewitnesses who have now been converted. They're followers of Christ. They saw what Jesus did. They believed that he was the Messiah. They believed that he died on the cross for their sins. They believed that he had risen from the dead. And now they are ministering the word of God to those people who are around them. So these individuals he's talking to are not people who are on the outside and says, oh yeah, I saw Jesus one time. They're individuals who saw what he did and they believed, and now they're following him. They're ministers of the word. These are accounts given to us for this gospel work. The reason that they are sharing these testimonies is because they're using these testimonies as a way of sharing what the Lord Jesus Christ could do for others as they spread the gospel around the world. Now you know why I made you do that at the beginning of the service this morning, right? Your testimony matters. You need to use your testimony about what the Lord Jesus Christ did in your life as a means for sharing the gospel for the individuals who are around you. How is this gospel compiled? It's a good question. How do we compile it? Luke has compiled for us a history of Christ and is careful to keep a good order. The other day, this past week, Elizabeth has been hanging out with me in my office because Tracy was gone. And she didn't want to spend every day with her brother. So she came and hung out with me in my office. And one day, she was like, do you have something I can do, Dad? And I says, I have a great job for you to do, right? So I take her down the hallway to the chapel over here, which is right next to all the construction that's been taking place here at the church. And I said, Elizabeth, Bailey's Chapel is in great need of cleaning. And I said, so what I would like you to do is I would like you to pretend you're Joanna Gaines, and I'd like you to go in Bailey's Chapel, and I'd like you to decorate and reorganize it, just like clean it all up. So I go back to my office and I study, and I come back a couple hours later, and she's dusted all the shelves. She's moved things around. She's got things organized. And I said, how'd that go? She goes, oh, that was my favorite job. I love taking things and putting them in order, right? That's what Luke has done for us, all right? Now, she is for sale, all right? Anybody wants her to come and clean and order things? Tracy will tell you they may not be where you want them to be when she's done, but they're where she thinks they ought to be. All right. So this is what Luke has done. He's taken all of these eyewitness testimonies and he's put them in order. And he's taken much care to make sure that the order of this gospel is historically correct for us. He's concerned, this is important, he is concerned more about the human race in his construction than that of Jesus being the Messiah of the Jews. I said it was important that Luke is a Gentile. He wants the Gentiles to know that the gospel is for them, that Jesus is for them. And in this gospel, you will see him explaining things more clearly. Matthew writes the gospel to the Jews, right? Luke tries to explain the Jewish things for us, assuming that we don't understand, okay? And he's doing that because he wants us to understand that Jesus was for us. I'm not a Jew. Anybody here a Jew? I'm not a Jew. I'm a Gentile. It's important for me to understand that Jesus came and died on the cross for me, right? So he is concerned about the human race. This gospel is clearly written by an individual who spent much time with Paul under his teaching. You'll find some interesting things in Luke's gospel that you won't see in the other gospels, and what they are is phrases. There are phrases that are uniquely the Apostle Paul. The way he talks about communion is the way that Paul talks about communion. And the way the other apostles, the way Matthew has written about communion and the way that Mark has written about communion is different. It's in a different, the words are ordered a little bit different. But Luke has been under Paul's influence. And so when he leads a group, a church in communion, he uses the same language Paul did. Okay, so you'll see that there. You'll see Paul's influence on some of his writing. This is the gospel. Luke's gospel is the gospel that most reflects for us the humanity of our Savior. We talk a lot about Jesus being Lord. John, in his gospel, he makes clear to us that Jesus is the creator of all things, that he is God Almighty. But Luke wants to make sure that we know that Jesus is a man. He wants us to know that he was born. This is the only gospel that clearly depicts the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to know that he grows, that he grows up, that he's a child, that he has to learn. He wants us to know that. He points out to us when Jesus is weeping. How many of you say that you were sent to care for a group of individuals, and when you got there to care for them, they said, I don't want you here? Can you imagine? Jesus comes, he offers to be the king of the Jews, and guess what they say? We don't want you. Luke shows us Jesus weeping over that because he's hurt, because he's a man, because he has feelings. Sometimes we think that Jesus is a God with a a cloak over him. He's just pretending to be a person. And Luke makes clear to us that that's not the case. Jesus is truly God and truly man. Jesus struggles. Luke shows us the struggle of the Lord Jesus Christ in dealing with temptation, in dealing with individuals who are around him. He feels the sting of betrayal. Have you ever been betrayed? Luke's gospel will understand. We see Jesus being betrayed. You know, in Luke's gospel, we're going to get to this, but it'll probably be 2 years from now, so I can talk about it now. When Jesus is being tortured on the cross, you go ahead and read the account, and Peter denies Jesus. You know, in Luke's gospel, we see Jesus' face. We see that Peter looks and he sees Jesus. Can you imagine one of your closest friends denying you when you're on the getting ready to go to the cross to die for their sins? Luke shows us that. Jesus extends forgiveness. He extends forgiveness. Luke establishes Jesus as the only one who could understand our struggle, endure our hardship, and face our temptations, and never giving in, become the only one worthy of sacrifice for our sins. Luke establishes for us the man, Christ Jesus, who is now our great high priest in heaven, and shows us that we can count on him because he understands our struggle. Luke establishes Jesus as the great high priest of heaven who is able to empathize with us, and yet we know he overcame. That's what I want. I want to know that Jesus understands my suffering, that he understands my temptation, that he understands my hurt, that he understands that I need to grow and develop and gain wisdom. And I want to know that Jesus did all of those things and didn't fail. Because then when I know that Jesus is the individual who did all of those things, felt all of those things, and didn't fail, I know that he's going to accomplish the work that he has promised to do in redeeming me forever in heaven. That's the man Christ Jesus. So this week, your homework. I want you to read through Luke 1, 1 through 4. Short. This is short. This is easy. And I want you to write out, I just gave you the format for this. I want you to write out what your testimony about Jesus is. What's your testimony about Jesus? What were you like before you knew Jesus? When did you come to know him? How has your life been changed by what he did for you on the cross? To help you in that, I just gave you like the five-minute testimony, 30-second. I just gave you the 30-second testimony. I want you to write it in 60 seconds. Just strengthen it out, lengthen it out. Write a paragraph in each one. And then when you're done with that, I want you to write more in each one. Just build off of that paragraph. Mickey would be so happy with me. I'm giving you an English assignment, right? Just write this thing out and prepare to share that testimony. So what is your testimony about Jesus Christ? Have you taken the time to bring that into the narrative of the gospel? Have you taken the time to go, all right, the gospel's had an impact. Jesus, what he has done for me on the cross has had an impact on me. And then lastly, who are you going to share what Jesus has done for you with? Who are you going to share that with? You write out your testimony and then say, all right, who am I going to share this with? And here's what I want you to do before you leave this morning. I want you to name names. I want you to write on that piece of paper or write in your journal there so that you have it forever. The name of the individual that you're going to share your testimony with. or individuals. And then pray this morning that the Lord would give you an opportunity to share that, and that when He gives you the opportunity, that you will take it. Because Luke shows us that the testimony of God's saints matters.